and to have around. And appreciate this man, loves the Lord, and he's going to sing for us right quick. Come on, brother. Amen. Make sure he's on.
Amen. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I just give a little bit of my testimony. I was saved late in life. I lived a pretty mean and wicked and evil life up until I've been saved about 11 years. I got saved July the 14th, 2002. Amen. Haven't been the same since. Amen. Amen. And but it's been a privilege to be here this week. Like a lot of the preachers have said, we don't see this kind of stuff down in Florida where we come from. Boy, I'm telling you, this is a blessing to be here at Shining Light Baptist Church. Amen. I'm telling you. And we want to thank Brother Danny for welcoming us and Brother Wayne for introducing us. I tell you what, Brother Jason and I were talking the other day about how many people Brother Wayne has brought together. I wouldn't know Brother Danny if it wasn't for Brother Wayne. Brother Danny comes down and preaches in Florida sometimes, and we try to go. If he's not at our church, we'll try to go and listen to him to somewhere else. But I want to appreciate that Sunday school lesson too, brother. That was good. We've had a time. Y'all pray for me this morning. I don't know if it's the weather. I'm a little hoarse, but I don't call myself a singer, but people keep calling me to come up and sing. So I do what the Lord will have me to do, and I do it the best of my ability. And I say, y'all pray for me this morning as I sing. This song I'm going to sing is called "He Was Thinking of Me." Do you know he was thinking of you before you breathed the breath of life? He knew your name. And this is what this song is called. He was thinking of me when he went to Calvary. So y'all just pray for me this morning as I sing. Yeah, man. What he was thinking of when the crowd came that day and took him from the garden and his disciples walked away. What could have gone through his mind as they nailed him to the tree? Oh, but now I know he was thinking of me. He was thinking of me.
When he could hear this sinner's
for he knew I too need a Savior. Oh, thank God he was thinking of me. He was thinking of me. Service, y'all pray for us as we're traveling.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Enjoy that good singing. Say amen. 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 I thought it was George Jones there for a heck when he's going in. Amen. That was good. Appreciate that. Let's open our Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, right quick now this morning. We got a lot to do here this morning. I didn't mention get signed up for the couples trip. If you are not signed up for the couples trip today, we want you to go with us to Gatlinburg, November 15th, 16th. We got a real good deal at the Howard Johnson Motel right there in the middle of Gatlinburg. These folks in Florida, they kept saying, how come it's not cold? How come the leaves ain't changing? It just didn't happen early this year. But it's a fixing to happen this week. And we'll have it by Friday, Lord willing. And I'll be in Florida. So I'll be down there where it's hot, down in Fort Myers. But anyway, let's open our Bible to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. I want to show you something in the Bible. This Lord gave me this thought this week during the camp meeting, and I want to bring it to you just for a minute. We've heard some great preaching this week, and I admit to you that I feel
really, really inferior to all these great preachers we've had. But let me show you something here in Ephesians 2, and this is what the Lord gave me. Look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened.
Amen.
Quickened. The word quickened means made alive. And the context shows you that. Who were dead. You're quickened, but you were dead in trespasses and sin. That's why the Bible talks about the quick and the dead. People ask me before, what does that mean, the quick and the dead? Once, give me up just a hair, Brother Mike, till I get going. One Sunday school teacher taught a lesson on that one morning and said, we're going to learn a lesson on the quick and the dead. The quick and the dead. Little boy, he'd been playing around in the floor and wasn't paying attention. And she said, all right, now, Johnny, you stand and tell the class who the quick and the dead are. He didn't pay no attention. He lived in a big city somewhere. And he said, the quick are the ones that get out of the way of the cars, and the dead are the ones that don't. But that is not what this scripture means. The quick means alive. Quick means alive, like in your fingernail. You got the quick. Get it down to the quick. If you tear your fingernail off, stick a pin in that little pink part and you'll find out if you're alive or dead. The quick. The Bible says you quickened. He made you alive. When you got saved, you became alive spiritually. So that's what they're talking about. And you have he quickened who were dead. You know the people on TV that you see, rock singers, rappers, poor little old Miley, people like that, Madonna, all that. They are walking around physically, but are dead spiritually. They're zombies, the walking dead. That's the way they go. Again, spiritually, that's the way they're going. And so the Bible said here in verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's who we've been fighting this week. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. Here's the way you used to live, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You just done whatever you wanted to. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, you know the only hope for you? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Now, verse 6. Here's the verse we want to look at this morning. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together, and hath made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's what the Bible says. When you got saved, the Lord raised you up spiritually, and he put you up here that you could sit together with Christ in heavenly places. There's a part of us that's already there. And there's a part of that that's in here. We can't explain that. Did you know that Jesus is in heaven this morning, but he's also in our hearts? You say, well, that means he can be two places at once. He can do better than being two places at once. He can be a million places at once. He's in my heart, your heart, her heart, his heart, his heart, all at the same time. Now, the Lord said he's raised us up together to sit in heavenly places with Christ. So we're up there in him, and he's down here in us. I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the subject, out of this world. Out of this world. The world, this world that me and you living in this morning, is sinking in muck. And spiritually sinking in muck. Spiritual quicksand, you might call it. It's like we're underwater. Here's what living in this world's like for a Christian. We're underwater, and you're just swimming underwater. And once in a while, We come up for air and we grab a big, big air and this world just sucks us back down. That's what it's like living in this world. If you got spiritual life in you and you're living for the Lord, it's like we're swimming underwater. And we come up every once in a while and get a breath of air. What the world wants this morning and needs is out of this world. On those specials they have about aliens and UFOs and stuff, they always say this. They always say, we're going to hear this person's testimony, and they had an otherworldly experience. And the scientists down there at NASA and Cape Canaveral and Kennedy Space Center, you know what they're doing? They're wanting to go up yonder somewhere and find the answers to our problems that we got down here. You know what a lot of them believe now? And what's coming in the future, they believe that a super race from somewhere on another world came and planted us here on this planet, and we're an experiment because evolution could not possibly be true. It's impossible. And they know that. Any honest thinking person will know that. So they think another race planted us here on this earth, and they're monitoring us. And as soon as we've reached the mental and spiritual level of the new age, we'll be ready to accept them, and the gods are coming again. That's all that comes from ancient astronaut theory. And you'd be surprised at the colleges and professors that are believing that, movie stars now. They believe that we're going to be visited by otherworldly beings. And we are. And we have been. And we will be again. Except these otherworldly beings that they're looking for ain't from up yonder. They from down yonder. And they don't realize it. They're imposters. But the otherworldly visitor that we've had is from up there. And he's coming again. So what I want to talk about this morning is how this world. You ever heard anybody say, boy, I tell you, my aunt makes the best red velvet cake, hint, hint, or the best strawberry cream cheesecake, hint, hint. Okay, that it's just out of this world. It's just out of this world. Preacher, it's just out of, you ever heard anybody say that? They say, and what they're saying is, there's nothing in this world that can compare to my mama's coconut cake or chocolate cake with yellow inside chocolate icing, hint, hint. And there's nobody can compare with that. They say there's nothing like it. They say it is out of this world. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Right? Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we went there to this restaurant and the food just out of this world. I mean, there's nothing on earth like it. And I'm going to tell you this morning what we need in churches this morning, what we need in our church, what Burke County needs is something that's out of this world. Now, I want to say a few things about that this morning. Now, I want to say we need some preaching that's from out of this world. We've got too much dead, dry, intellectual lectures on Sunday morning that just speak to the minds of people and make people feel good. I heard about one church where the preacher gets up every Sunday before everybody leaves and says, now, do you feel good? Do you feel good? Does everybody feel good? We want to make sure everybody feels good. Now, I tell you this morning, but you are not supposed to leave church every single service feeling good. You ought to feel like a dog sometimes. And sometimes you ought to feel like, oh my goodness, I need to do better. You say, well, I don't want to feel like a dog. Well, you got to feel like a dog before you start feeling better. Or as you get your heart right. And then you will feel good. The main mission of the church is not to make you feel good. The main mission of the church is to get you to God and get your heart right so you can feel good one of these days. We need some otherworldly preaching. The world don't realize it, there's something supernatural about preaching. Now, teaching, you can get by with it. Teaching, you can just give knowledge and facts to people. But there's something about real Bible preaching that's supernatural. I can't explain it. I can't write it down for you on a piece of paper. But I know for a fact that I've seen it in others. And it's happened to me 1,000 times. There's something from another world gets into preaching of the Bible. And it'll do something for you that's out of this world. I'm telling you, real Bible preaching will do more for you in 30 minutes than hours of counseling at a psychiatrist's desk or at a marriage counselor somewhere. You know why? Because it's out of this world. It comes from up there, and it comes through God's man. Now, you know, I talk about Beyonce in that video that I do on the New Age and in the Second Coming and the 666. And Beyonce, the performer, she says that she's a shy person. She don't act shy. She don't act like she's shy. But you know what she says? She says, I am a shy person. But she said, I have an alter ego. And when it gets, she said, when I go on the stage to perform, my alter ego comes into me. And she calls her alter ego Sasha Fierce. Now, me and you know that as a demon from hell. And she says, when I go on stage, it takes over me and I perform by the power of Sasha Fierce. She said, it's really not me doing it. Now, all that is the devil's counterfeit for really good Bible preaching. Because when we go pray, and I've been up in the woods praying every evening before the camp meeting, and I go up in the woods and I pray, and sometimes you can feel it, sometimes you can't, but just every once in a while, there's just like something comes from somewhere else. And I've been preaching many a time. I've been preaching many a time, people, when it felt like there was help coming from somewhere else. It's out of this world. It don't mean the preacher's special. It don't mean I'm anything different than anybody else. But when a preacher is prayed up and prayed, that's why sometimes when a preacher gets up and preaches, you sit there and you think, he's talking right to me. Somebody told him what I did. I know. How many times you felt like that? I mean, I felt like last night when I was sitting right there and old brother Ed was up here preaching. You know what it felt like? I felt like there wasn't nobody in here but me and him. And he was just like, my mind went back to 30 years ago when that old finger would look down at me and buddy, it got down in my heart. That don't come through teaching. That don't come through fellowshipping. That don't come through singing. All that stuff's good. But I'm telling you, preaching, it comes from another world. It's out of this world. I remember one time sitting listening to Larry Winkler preach, and while Larry Winkler was preaching, for just a few seconds there, I didn't even see him. Have you ever thought about it like that? And you don't even see the preacher. You're just seeing the Lord dying on the cross, and he's painting a picture, and he's telling a story, and for a little bit, you get lifted up there a little bit and see past the preacher. And that's when it gets good. That's when it gets real. It's when it's out of this world. What we need this morning is some preaching that's out of this world. Amen. We don't need a little rap session. We don't need a little time come and tell me something new, preacher. I want to know something deep. And I'll tell you something deep. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for people like me and you. Somebody said, God's too good to send somebody to hell. Let me tell you something crazier and wilder than that. How could a good God send anybody to hell? I'll give you one. How could somebody that holy let somebody like us in heaven? There's you something to think about. I'm telling you, we need some preaching that's out of this world. Just get a little glimpse of glory. Amen. You know, sometimes preachers get to preaching and you think, boy, they're just talking to me. They're just talking to me. And maybe they are, but I try not to do that. But it does happen. Heard about this guy one time, he's a preacher, and you've heard him tell this story before, and he had one guy in his church that was giving him a fit. So he decided one Sunday morning he'd preach that guy a sermon. Now, you ain't supposed to do that, and I don't do it. I don't do it. I've been accused of it, but I don't do it. If I got a problem with just me and you, I'll come to just me and you, and we'll sit down and talk. I'm not going to get up here and preach to one person, let 300 of you just sit there. But anyway, this guy, he had a problem, and this preacher got up, and he'd done everything but call that guy's name. He said, these so-and-so people that sat on the third row and wear these gray shirts, he said, I ain't naming no names, but these people that sat on the front and wear these hoodies to church on Sunday morning. I ain't calling nobody's name or nothing, but you know how they are. I mean, he done everything but name that guy. I mean, everybody in the church, boy, he's talking to old so-and-so. We know who he's talking to. It's old so-and-so. Oh, boy, it was embarrassing. I mean, he preached a sermon right to that guy. And when he got through that morning, he felt real good. He got the burden off of him, and he said, the first woman that come out, shook his hand, she said, preacher, that sermon was right to me this morning. I don't know how you knew about me, but that nailed me to the wall. He said, I thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. He said, the next guy come out, he said, preacher, you must have prayed. You've been over my house looking in the window. That sermon was right to me this morning. Preacher, you touched me this morning. Next guy came out, preacher, I know you was talking to me. I know you was talking to me. Finally, that fella come out that he really was preaching to. He said, boy, here he come. He stuck out his hand and he said, preacher, I just want to tell you that's good. You really told him this morning. That's the way it goes, you know. That's the way it goes when you try it. That's the way it goes. The people that really need it ain't even listening. You can tell them over and over and over, and they just sit there like, he ain't talking to me. But I tell you, you better listen. When it's out of this world, God's got a message for you. Listen, it's out of this world. God's got a... You know what I was sitting there doing? Me and Jason was sitting there last night. I couldn't hardly hold my seat. You know what I felt like? I felt like God was talking to me. And the preacher ain't God, but God was speaking through him to my heart. And what we need in this country this morning is some preaching that's out of this world. Let me say secondly this morning, we need some praying that's out of this world. How long has it been since you really got to praying and you know that you was hooked up to another world? I've had it before. Now the world thinks, and Hollywood thinks, and TV thinks that praying is reciting prayers. And they think, I say my prayers every day. You're wasting your time. I say my prayers every night, preacher. Say the same words. Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. You're thinking about who's winning the ballgame. If I should die before I wake, I'll pray the Lord my soul to take. That ain't praying. That's reciting prayers. Well, them Catholic church gets on there. They start fiddling with them beads. They say, Hail Mary, full of grace, remember us now and at the hour of our death. Pray for us sinners. Hail Mary, full of grace, pray for us now and at the hour of our death for us sinners. And Jesus, the fruit of thy womb, and praying to Mary and everything else. You know what that is? That's an absolute waste of words and waste of time. You say, well, you shouldn't make fun of other people. I'm not. I'm trying to tell you there's a difference between reciting prayers and praying. Praying is talking to God. Praying is not repeating the same thing over and over and over just as a memory, like quoting a poem. Not like, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep it. Just hush. Just get down and say it. Now, if you say that and mean it, it's different. If you get down and say, Lord, I'm getting ready to lay down and go to sleep, and I pray that you'd help me, and I pray that you'd watch over me, you talk to him. And I'm telling you, get you somewhere else. You know what all you ladies need to do? You know what all you teenagers need to do? You know what you teenagers need to do? You need to get them headphones out of your ears for a little while, turn that stereo off and that TV, and get in your bed and read your Bible and say, God, make yourself real to me. God, I want to know you. God, I want to know that I'm saved. God, I want what Brother Danny's got. God, I want what Brother Jason's got. God, do it for me. If you can do it for them. You say, well, I'm young, preacher. I was 18 when I got it. I was 18 years old. I'm telling you, I got it, brother. It got a hold of me. I got up in the woods and got a hold of God. I ain't never forgot it yet. We need some preaching and praying that's out of this world. Say amen right there. I'll never forget. So I went to church for the first time after I'd been saved about three months. And I went to this little church over here, old country church. And they said, we're going to have a prayer room. I didn't know what a prayer room was. And I said, whatever anybody does, I'm going to do it too. So we went down the steps in a little Sunday school class. And back then, it just cement, concrete floors and block walls in the Sunday school class. And it looked like 20 or 25 men. And we sat down in there. I didn't know. I'd never been in prayer room. I sat down like this. And one of them said, pray for so-and-so. Pray for my aunt. Pray for grandma. Pray for this. I was looking around like that. They said, all right, fellas, let's pray. And, buddy, we got down. And everyone, you know, in them little, no carpet or nothing. It'd ring in there. And every one of them goes, oh, God, about 30 of them doing that. At the same time, it was a roar in there. And for a second, I thought, oh my goodness. And you know what? I started feeling like I was I like what Hallelujah Howard said. He's back there telling somebody, he said, it's like you're getting in an elevator. You ever got in an elevator and you feel it start taking you up? Hey, he's raised us up to sit in heavenly places. Oh, Howard got a lot more theology than some of y'all think he does, buddy. Don't let him fool you, that country, that slang he's got. That old boy knows that Bible. And, buddy, I tell you, he said, it's like going up in an elevator. And I got to pray and I thought, Lord of God. I said, these guys are getting it. I'm going to get it too. I said, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God. And I loved it. And I actually heard people criticize that. People said, all those people praying at the same. One fellow said, it's confusion. Why? I can't understand what they're saying. And some guy pulled and said, that's because they ain't talking to you, dude. You don't have to understand what they're saying. Listen, God, how many people you think's praying in the world right now? Millions and millions of them. And God hears every one of them just like it wasn't nobody else. We need some praying that's out of this world. Praying that's out of this world. I'm glad I got around some people that knew how to pray. Thirdly, this morning, we need some paying that's out of this world. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, Brother Danny, I give my gift. I know some people that's so stingy and wicked, they don't even pay their tithes. They don't even give God their tithe. God's been so good to them, blessed them with a good income, and they're so stingy that they won't even give God what he asks. And you'll regret that one of these days. I'm going to tell you, smart people that are financially smart and want to make a good investment, let me show you how to do it. God can put his blessings on 90% of your income and make it bigger with his blessings than he can 100% with his curse on it. And we need some out of this world paying. Amen. I ain't trying to sound like a TV preacher, but I'm telling you, once in a while, you ought to just get silly with it. The Bible said, that's right, brother, just get silly with it. And just say, you know what? I can't afford this, but I'm going to do it for God. The Bible said the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And I've always been told that word cheerful means hilarious. Got me to do it. I don't care, throw it in there. Like that. The Lord loves that. One preacher got up one Sunday morning, he said, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. He also accepteth from a grouch. And I believe that. One guy told me one time, he said, I don't want to pay my tithes, and I give it with a grudge. So shouldn't I just not pay it? And I said, no! You go ahead and do it with a grudge. That way you're only committing one sin. The grudge. If you got a grudge and still don't do it, that's two sins. And some of you sitting right here this morning need to get caught up. And you know it. But you're so stingy and so backslid and so full of your pride that you refuse to do it. Listen, just because you go on vacation, that ain't a freebie, brother. God still demands his tithe and offering. And we need this morning, ladies and gentlemen, some out of this world giving. Do you realize what we heard last night? If you had to pay for that kind of counseling, it cost you $125 an hour anywhere. And most of y'all got it free. Do you realize that? Do you realize if that teenager of yours gets in this altar and gets help and turns down drugs next week or turns down alcohol, that's why you ought to have your kids in church, that counseling from this pulpit has saved you thousands of dollars, hours of nights of worrying. Keep them out of rehab. You can't pay money for something that good. But I tell you what God done for me last night, and little Kerrigan got saved by the grace of God. She's been asking her mama, Mama, I want to get saved. Mama, I want to get saved. Mama, I want to get saved. And last night she did it. Amen. Last night she did it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that just the Lord. You know what? That makes Brother Ed's spiritual grandchild there. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we need some praying that's out of this world. Mamas and daddies, get somewhere this evening and pray until you feel something from another world. Tell you something else. We need some praising that's out of this world. I like what one of them said about Howard. You know, Hallelujah Howard, he sat right here the other night And he gets so beside himself. You know what? If you missed a camp meeting, you got so cheated, it ain't even funny. You took $1 and missed $1,000. Listen, Brother Old Howard, you know what he gets sometimes? He gets to shouting around here. One night, he preached more than the preacher did. And he was supposed to be listening. And honest to goodness, he's sweatier than Frankie was when he got done, I think. Old Howard, he got preached. And you know how he gets like that? Because he forgets there's anybody here except him and the Lord. That's what kind of praising we need. How long's it been since you forgot there's anybody else here except for you and the Lord? You know how most people come to church? Most of y'all sit here this morning just looking around. Well, I know where she bought that. I seen it in sale the other day at Belk's. I know how much it was too. Yeah, I know where them boots. Them looks awful. It looks like she, Lord have mercy. That dress is three sizes too little for her. Well, that's what most people do at church. That's what most people do at church. Get your eyes off each other and get them on the Lord and you'll forget there's anybody else here. We need some praising. That's out of this world, buddy. I'll never forget the first time I shouted. It was over at Bethel Free Will Baptist Church over there. And it had been bubbling in me for a while. One morning I was up in the choir like this. And we were singing something like, this is my story, this is my song. And I'd been saved about 6 or 8 months. And I felt something going. You know that feeling right before you puke? You know it's coming. I hate to use that as a comparison. But it's the opposite of that. It's the opposite of that. You know how right before you throw up, you start, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming, it's coming. Oh, that's awful. Well, it's the opposite of that. You start feeling, so I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. I'm saved, I'm not going to hell. I'm not going anywhere. And I push it back down. And he goes, and I push it back down. And he goes, and this, that Sunday morning, I started to shout. And I was up here saying, this is my story, this is my song, praise my. And I wanted to throw that song book and run around, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Well, one day we went visiting all day long, and we was out all day on Saturday, and went to a Saturday night singing. Most of them old churches had Saturday night singing. And we got in there that night, and I was sitting over here in the middle of the pew, like in a section like this. I was like Popeye, the same lady. He said, that's all I can stands. I can't stands no more. And I'm telling you, it started, I ain't kidding you, that's exactly what, it felt like something, like a volcano inside, and next thing I know, I cut loose. You ought to try it sometime. Next time the Lord gets on you, forget your dignity. Forget how wonderful and important you are. And just think you're an old dog saved by grace. And I jumped up over here, and I was out in the aisle, and I was going like that, and I was bawling my eyes out. I didn't know if there's anybody else in the world. I know there's a God, and I knew I was saved. And I said, woo! I'm telling you, we need some praising that's out of this world. Amen. And then I want to say, fifthly, this morning, we need some practicing that's out of this world. That means when we go out of here, live so that the people who see you say, you know what? I don't know what it is about that person, but there's something about them. They didn't get that down here. They didn't get it in this world. They didn't get it. That's, you teenagers, all you young people here this morning, sit up here where you ought to sit. Worship God like you ought to worship. Enjoy the Lord. I still believe it's good to take your Bible to school. Take it. Don't be ashamed of it. I still believe it's good. Put a bumper sticker on your car. Let the world know whose side you're on. We need some out of this world practicing. You say, well, if I do that, I won't get a boyfriend. Listen, God might be keeping you from some idiot that's going to ruin your life. If he don't want your Bible, you don't want him. If he won't come to church with you, you don't need him. If she won't come to church with you, you say, well, I love her, but she won't come to church. Well, you can fall out of love, you know. That's right. You can fall out of love with an idiot. You fell in, you can fall out. That's right. Amen. We need some practicing that's out of this world. Amen. We don't need one way at home and one way at church. And number six, I'll hurry this morning. We need some preparation that's out of this world. Amen. We're getting ready to leave. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You know what? We have to live in it. We have to work in it. But we don't have to stay in this world. You know, the Lord's got an account. You ever had a savings account? I used to have one years ago. I don't have a savings account now. I got savings, but I ain't got no savings account. I got a checking account, and I keep enough in there to pay my bills. And I used to have a savings account, and I'd save a dollar here. On payday, I'd try to save $50 or something. I'd say, put $50 of that in saving. Give me the rest in cash. And then I'd go up there next week and I'd say, put $50 of that in saving and give me the rest in cash. And then one day, every once in a while, I'd go up there and say, I need to withdraw $75. Something would come up. I'd have to buy something. I'd have to buy a set of tires. I need to draw out. I'd occasionally draw out. Then one day, I thought, you know what? I'm going to clean it out. I want everything in there. Give it all to me. Whatever it is. How much is in there? Oh, $600 and something dollars, Mr. Castle. Give it every bit. I want him with the closing it out. And you know, that's what the Lord's doing. What he's doing when he saves people, he's depositing. Deposit one. He deposited Kerrigan last night. When somebody gets saved in another church this morning, he's making deposits in his account. You know what happens when a Christian dies? That's the Lord making a withdrawal. He looks down here and says, I need him and him and him, withdraw them. And yes, sir, God. And Mr. Death says, here they go. They have to come through me. And they come through go to the Lord. So the Lord's making a withdrawal. Every time somebody gets saved, deposit. Every time somebody dies, the Lord's making a withdrawal. You know what he's going to do at the rapture? He's going to come and say, I'm going to clean out my account. I want everything that belongs to me. All at one time. Amen. Clean the whole thing out, brother. He said, I'm closing it out. And every child of God in this world is going to leave at one time. That's another word. That's out of this world. We're going to leave. That's what they're trying to do. But James, I want you to turn everything back on. But Jason, I want you to come. And I want our choir to come back up here. Come on, everyone in the choir, come back up here this morning. We need some preaching that's out of this world. We need some praying that's out of this world. We need some praising that's out of this world. And we need some preparation that's out of this world. Get them books again. We're going to do it again. It is well. It is well with my soul. Amen. This one on. Amen. This is on, Brother James. Amen. It is well. Get your books. We're going to do it again this morning. If you're here this morning and you cannot say it is well with your soul while they sing. This one on. Brother James. Okay. Amen. Now listen. It is well. It is well with my soul. Might need to get me down just a hair on this, Brother Andy. If you're here this morning and things are not right with you and God, I'd invite you just to come while they sing. Let's gather around this altar and let's do this thing this morning. And let's obey God. It's not well. You say, preacher, I had to work all week and I missed a camp meeting and I feel terrible. The Lord can give you what you need right here this morning. Let's stand, please, all over the building. Everyone standing. Everyone standing this morning. You let God speak your heart. Y'all watch him. All right? We're going to sing this morning. I believe God will use it to speak to your heart. Amen. Let's sing this morning. Come on. Come on right now. That's right. Right now, come on. Come on. Sometimes life's like that. Come on, ma'am. Come on. Come on, sir. Others need to come. Yeah, man. Sing it with us this morning. Me to say. It's in the back of your book. Very back. Yeah, man. Hallelujah! come this morning? Can you come this morning? Come on. Just get out of your seat, come. Just get down here this morning. It'll be well with your soul if you'll come. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on.